When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Letarte on Location. I'm your host, Steve Letarte. And guys, when you spent more than 20 years of your life traveling the road, first as a NASCAR crew chief and now as an analyst for NBC, you are bound to meet some interesting characters along the way. Today is no different. With Letarte on Location, I try to bring you closer to some of the personalities I've connected with and a whole bunch of great places. So sit back and get ready for some off-the-grid conversation. Today, in a suite above my favorite racetrack, the Paperclip Martinsville Speedway, with none other than 10-time winner. Told him it was worth 12, but 10-time winner, Clint Bowyer. Clint?
So funny. I'm sitting here listening to you. I'm like, damn, Letarte.
Oh,
that was actually pretty good. He's clearly reading it.
I wrote it.
So you followers that are, for some reason,
listening to us now,
because you have nothing better to do, we appreciate you coming on. Yes, I am Clint Bowyer. Yes, this is Steve Letarte, and we are on location. He has his own koozies, for crying out loud.
I love this. You could take this over for me.
Yeah.
Could I sublease my podcast?
We are here at Martinsville.
And it's awesome.
In a suite.
With no beer.
We are under caution. No beer. There's people having fun on both sides of us in their suites with beer.
You're the reason we have no beer, though.
And we have.
Because you have to qualify later. If you didn't have to qualify, we'd have beer.
Horrible timing.
Horrible timing.
If you would have done this on location.
I know.
After qualifying, it would have been a lot better interview.
Well,
do you have any plugs that I need to read?
No, nothing. I don't have any sponsors. I got nothing.
You mean you actually did homework?
I got all your stuff, man. I know a lot about you.
Do you have a guy?
No, I'm the guy. You're looking at the guy.
You have a gal.
No, we have research groups, but they won't help me here.
You call them researchers.
Researchers,
they
don't help me here.
Did they help you come up with all this?
They did not.
There's no possible way you took time out of your golf schedule during the week.
I did.
And did some of that.
As bad as I played this week and as financially deficit I was in, it would have been better if I'd have done this all week.
I don't know how one would ever have enough time for golf.
Well, I got two kids. One that goes to South Charlotte School. I got to drive to. I mean, I squeeze it in.
Squeeze it in. But which game? The first game of the day or the second game?
I played 3 days this week.
Three days of the week. That's three of your 4 days. Like people say, like when you throw out a week, that's not a normal person's 7-day week. That's like 4 days.
But here's the difference.
You had 4 days to play with, and you used three of them. I'm sure your wife reminds you of this as well. You had 3 days that you spent on the golf course.
See, but here's
of your four.
But my wife's office is in the house, so she'd love – go
she
do something. Leave. Like, she's like, hey,
here. Whoa!
Oh,
big
man.
Dive.
This is going to be tough because ADD is the two of us
man,
are in a truck race going
he,
on.
He just let him in. He doesn't want to win. Doesn't want to win, clearly.
Well, they got 100 laps to go.
I don't know.
All right. So, yes, my guest is Clint Bowyer. As you can tell, 12 wins at the Cup Series.
10, I think. 12?
I found 12.
10. 10.
10?
See, that guy knew 10.
Don't tell me that because the researcher told me 12.
Oh, so now we're back to there is a researcher.
Russell told me 12. Only
10? I was starting to think that.
You only won 10?
Yeah, only 10 times. I should have won 12.
I know.
Only won 10.
You unfortunately have the same problem I have.
What?
Your career lined up with Jimmy Johnson's.
Exactly.
I'd still be in the garage. I'd have like 50 wins of a crew chief if it wasn't for him.
Way good. Be signing autographs.
We got a lot to cover, but this is the one I want to hear. You're a kid. We're not going to go all the way back. We know the story. You got a couple brothers, motocross guy. You end up in cars.
Yep.
Run pretty good. 2003, you get an ARCA ride.
Yeah, big, big opportunity. You know.
So who was that for? Before
the
RC. Pump the
brakes and back up to 2002. 2002, okay. 2002 was definitely the year that put me on a map, so to speak. It was the year that opened my eyes up to, all right, I don't have to punch time clock anymore. I think I can honestly make a go out of this. I think I can make a living. And it was because it was the first year that I got an opportunity to drive on asphalt. All of my background was on dirt modified racing. And 2001 at the end of the season. Three guys came up to me sitting there after the race, one having a beer. The old man's got Elvis blaring. Let me tell you something. When we won races back then, my dad, you think I'm out of control? My dad is the most loud, obnoxious prick
that
could ever be of winning. His motto is, you show me a loser, I'll show you a winner, boy. And I mean to tell you, like, would rub it in so bad till the last person left. Like, blaring Elvis as loud as you could, hooting and hollering, drinking beer, celebrating that win. So when people see me doing that, that's where that came from. But where I'm going with this, at the end of 2001, I'm sitting here, and three guys come up to me, ask me if I'd be interested in racing asphalt late model at I-70 Speedway across the river in Kansas City. I'm like, hell yes, duh. I mean, what?
That's an easy
question.
Who the
hell are you guys?
Yeah.
It was Jeff Stacy, Jamie Hager, and Jeff Cassidy. Those three guys just so happened to be the three guys that put Jamie McMurray on the map.
Ah,
that's
all right.
Where you always there's a door open, always there's a reason.
Yep.
And that was my first opportunity as a, you know, a big time opportunity in racing. So,
because you say asphalt before that, you're doing your own dirt
2002,
stuff.
2002, yeah, okay. We're racing our dirt program, just
right.
Like we always did at Lakeside on the weekly racing series, which was a very, very good program back then. And it was an opportunity to go over and race on asphalt. These guys built an awesome late model. We built it over the off season. Went over there, had no idea what to expect. Boom. Win the first race of the year. End up winning a championship over there in a different region.
Damn.
Different racetrack. Asphalt, first time I'd ever been on it. One in that other region, by the way, over at Lakeside, and really, really got some national exposure. Got Sonic Drive-Ins as a sponsor through a regional level. That got me the opportunity, my foot in the door, to have Richard Childress look at me because Sonic Drive-Ins was on the side of Kevin Harvick's car. Now we see all the things, all the doors, all the opportunities start coming together. So really 2002 was the year that it all started for me. 2003, going back to where you started in your research.
Yeah, I didn't get 02. This stuff's not on the internet. I'm going to have to update the Wikipedia page.
So far you're not doing very well. I do appreciate you giving me
more trying to give you two more
than I earned.
You wait till he hears that. Wait till Russell hears this.
Now it's 2003. Listen to this opportunity. This cat calls me. Scott Traylor owns a Racing Boys radio show in Kansas City. You probably heard of him. He actually runs the Chili Bowl. Buys an MB2 car at an auction. Pontiac MB2 car. Calls me. Hey.
The old pointed slope nose.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But the car was pretty sexy.
Yeah.
Sweet
yep.
car, man. Again, we're racing asphalt late models at I-70. That was the nicest car ever. I raced dirt modifieds.
Right.
You see an asphalt car, it's like a bunch of drag racers. A bunch of clean guys that don't have
clean
grease on their shirt.
Chrome,
dirt.
If you get
actually, their
nice.
White crew chief shoes are white.
Yeah.
They're not brown. I mean, like, these boys are pretty boys, right? Drag racer level. And he calls and asks if I would want to run the Nashville race. In Nashville, at Super Speedway out there just outside of Nashville, of course, again, answers yes. Are you kidding me? Wow, what an opportunity. How much is this going to cost?
Right, right.
It's like, I remember, I think it was, we scrounged up $25,000 somehow. It was mainly what I had won through that weekly racing series. How I was telling you that was such a good program. I mean, literally almost making a go out of it racing the weekly racing series. Gave him the money, rented a car, and we go to Nashville. I'm like, hey, man, who's going to crew this car?
Yeah, right.
Who's going to crew chief? He's like, listen, I've got a guy I really honestly think, just get me the money. How many times have you heard that? I got you. Just,
oh, yeah.
First things first, you give me the money, and I got the rest.
Tell you what, if you like that, I got some property,
exactly,
too, for you.
Right,
yeah.
right. Smoking hot deal for you, right? Just give me $25,000, I'll handle the rest.
I'll take
so, listen, we land, or actually, Dad and I drove to Nashville. Those weren't landing days. We drove.
Yeah, right.
And get there, and Scott takes me over. We pick this cat up at the airport. He's like, this is a crew chief. I'm telling you, I met him down in Mooresville. This guy's good. Well, Mooresville, like, still, I'm from Kansas, right?
Yeah.
You even were probably already established way more than I was. When you think of Mooresville, it's almost like heaven.
Yeah, everyone
like
there races.
It's like it's not even it exists.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean? It's like people think of moonshine in the South. Like, ah! You really make that stuff? Like, damn right it is. You know, like, Mooresville didn't exist, right? It was not reachable from where we were at. We picked this cat up. He gets off this plane, and he's got a carbon fiber Simpson briefcase.
That was the guarantee.
And a backpack.
Yep.
That's it. No luggage, no nothing. A backpack and a carbon fiber Simpson briefcase. That Simpson briefcase had four shocks in it, and that backpack had four springs in it. Those four shocks and those four springs almost won that race in Nashville.
No kidding.
No kidding. We went to the Hutch truck and bought a left rear spring. I remember it, I think we went 25 pounds down on 25 pounds. Didn't even have – that tells you how equipped we were. Had to go buy a spring. Bought a spring.
I couldn't remember and brought them.
So
just put these
literally
in.
That's what we ran. And guess what? That guy's name was Trent Owens.
Oh, I was wondering where it was going to all circle back around. Trent. Now, Trent knows the stuff.
Isn't
that's
it
great.
Amazing? It's like about the time you think nobody's watching.
Yeah.
Opportunities like that in life come. And to this day, you look back on all those opportunities, and it's like somebody was watching, man.
It's
somebody
crazy.
Loves me, and I have no idea why.
Listen, I drive home every day thinking, I don't know how this all happened, but I hope.
Well,
I don't.
We've all seen your wife, Steve.
I'll tell
so
you, listen. I don't
we,
know when.
We thought the same thing.
That was actually, I think, my. That's how NBC, they're like, look, they convinced. He must be able to talk. So
damn
just hire
it,
him.
Yes. If he could convince her that he's the guy.
So, all right, so you go to this ARCA race. And now, are you still working at the body shop now? Or are you
hell
done?
Yes. We painted the car in the body shop.
Okay, so you get done with this ARCA race, and the story I was told, and I want to hear from you, is you get the call from RC.
Oh, absolutely.
And
get
you
back
say
home.
BS.
Now, hey, listen, man, we're back home. We're back. Back to punching the time
yeah,
card.
Right, right.
I'm back to – and by the way, didn't win the race, finished second, had the race won. We didn't have a pit crew when we went there. 20 laps to go. We pitted earlier in the race, leading with like a four-second lead and went out like 20th.
Mm.
When the caution come out. So at the end of the race, 20 to go, caution comes out. Trent's like, we can't pit. Well, Mario Goslin pitted and passed me with 12 to go.
Old
won that
Mario
race. But we had him.
Shoes.
If we'd had a pit crew just halfway capable of maintaining a couple positions, we'd have had that race won. But that's how it all went down. Get back to Kansas. Guess what? When you do something like that, you're on cloud nine, man.
Right. Oh,
everybody
yeah.
saw it. You're in the paper, man. I mean,
it's
like,
a big deal.
Yeah. Speed Sport News had you on there, but still, what they don't show is you're back broke.
Oh, yeah, right.
You spent everything you had for that opportunity.
Say,
now
you,
you're back to ground
you
zero.
You spent 25, second
damn,
probably paid.
Now what do we do?
$3,000.
Oh, yeah,
$5,000,
yeah.
You know?
It wasn't 25,000, I can promise you that. So, lost all this money, like, excited beyond belief because of the opportunity that may be presented from running like that.
Right.
But scared to death because we are literally broke.
Right, right.
And phone rings. 3 o'clock in the afternoon at a body shop. Let me tell you something. At a body shop, things are a little bit brash, a little bit rough
yep,
on the
yep.
edges, man. You pick on people a lot. There's no feelings in a body shop. It's we had a tremendous amount of fun. And at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you're really worried about one thing and one thing only: who's buying the beer that night.
Right, like, it's 2 hours away, and someone has
yeah,
to.
Oh yeah, I mean that's it. Like, who's buying beer? And we always used to play a lot of pranks with each other on that. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Phone rings. And it's a little lady asking if I'll take a phone call from Richard Childers. I'm looking over my shoulder. I'm like, dude, this is a low blow. This
yeah,
isn't
right.
funny, guys.
Like, you know I'm a little sensitive
yeah.
right now.
A little vulnerable here, man. This is not funny. And I mean, I couldn't find any of them. Nobody was, like, giggling behind her toolbox or anything. I'm like, I know they're doing it. So I'm like, yeah, right, lady. I played along with a minute. I did what everybody else does with the prank. I hung up. Steve.
On the lady. You didn't get RC on
this
the phone first.
This is a phone call from God himself from in that situation.
I mean, I was getting ready to say
so it would be like his secretary calling and offering a phone call from yep. Jesus.
No.
And, well, so I hung up on Sandra, which was his secretary, still is to this day, and we have a lot of laughs over that. But phone call rings again, 336 area code, just like the last one. I'm like, get on the phone.
Going a long ways for a prank.
Hey, let me tell you, it was him.
Oh, boy.
This is Richard Childers on the phone this time. No questions about, is this Clint Boyer? No questions about, were you the one
who
run good and natural?
Yeah, right.
Hey, I got to know something. Did you really just hang up on me? I was like, how do you answer that? I mean, this is the one opportunity. I was like, I blew it before it ever even started. He hadn't even heard my voice, and I just blew it. He's like, dude, he starts dying laughing. He goes, and he was like, hey, come in here. You know, I could tell he was telling
oh, yeah.
somebody, like, hey, this idiot just hung up on me. So 6:30, another wreck, Steve.
Oh,
they're piling
big
up
one.
Big time
that's
off
a big
the floor.
One. That's the truck race here at Martinsville with Clint Boyer
with
on location at Martinsville.
Four cars piled up off of turn four. Four of them. Count
four
them.
Of them. We're going to touch your TV prowess. You called that wreck pretty good. But
yeah. Do we have a we don't have any station identification or any sponsors to plug or anything.
No, man,
just
we got
keep
nothing.
Digging.
We got Blue Def diesel exhaust fluid and Oakley.
You got, hey, thanks,
see,
man.
Throw your stuff out here, man. You give me time.
You know, you come on someone's podcast.
Hey, listen.
Thinking that you're trying to help them out, like a little charity work. Instead,
I'm a man of the people.
We don't have anything to plug.
You don't never know if Blue Def shows up as
a
podcast sponsor. It's going to be
so
you.
That's how, so
you hung up on him.
6:30
the
next morning.
Yep.
Let me tell you something. Guess where I was at? Welcome, North Carolina.
Oh, you. He said come, and you were going.
This redneck picks me up at the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Jacked up Suburban. Hey, man. Gets out. Wranglers. Cowboy boots. I'm like.
Yep. Right
look
place.
This guy. You know who it was? Mike Dillon. Austin and Ty's dad. I'm like, are you kidding me? What? Hey, man, Rich told me to come get you. Just he really didn't say what to do, and I'm late for the kids' ball game. Let's just – will you care about going to the football game with me? I go – and I'm talking, I ain't been there 2 hours, and I'm at Austin's, like, football game at school watching football with the Dillons. Have no clue. Still to this day, like, literally have no clue – how I ended up with Mike, or he didn't either.
Yeah, right.
And now that I know him and have had all the friends and all the nights with him, like, we still laugh about it. He goes, man, I don't – Rich just called and said, go pick you up. I don't know. Mike's a son-in-law. When you have the son-in-law duties, you do whatever the daddy-in-law
yeah,
says.
He didn't hang up.
No. Yeah, he didn't hang up on Richard.
No.
So went to the Dillons, stayed with the Dillons that night at their house, complete, like, stranger. Had no clue who they
just
are.
Just come on in.
Come on in, staying in this huge house. By the way, you can see the lights from Richard's house across the street, and it looks like a Hilton over there lit up like Fort Knox. And your parents are calling, hey, man, what?
You're right.
What'd he say? You're like, I haven't seen him. I don't know. I just his son-in-law picked me up.
With
I'm
kind of
piecing
game.
All this together. Like, what are you doing? Where are you at? You got in a motel? I'm like, no, I'm upstairs in this huge house. Like, this is pretty weird. That's like I say like Tuesday, right? Thursday, I still haven't seen this guy. Never called, never did anything. Dylan's still going to Dylan's house. I go down to the bush shop and hang out with the guys
like,
during
what?
The day. And like, hey, finally Thursday comes around and I hear, I mean, the cars are loaded up and
yeah,
gone.
Yeah, right.
And I was kind of, Will Lynn's down there, you know, and I say, hey, I don't mean any disrespect by this, but my bosses are calling and kind of wanting to know, am I coming back to work or not? You need me to stay a little longer by all means. Yeah. I'm here for good, buddy. Well, this is where I want to be, but if not, and this deal ain't going to work out, I kind of need a job. So I call Richard. I had his number. I'm like, hey, I know you're fixing to leave, and I know you're busy. I kind of need to know what's going on. I'd like to have an opportunity to talk to you before, you know, you leave for the weekend. My boss is calling and is wanting to know what's going on. Boss? Oh. Well, just tell him don't worry about it. Okay. I'll see you in a little bit. That's it. Never saw him again. Like 10 o'clock that night, and knowing Richard and his worth ethic.
That's an easy one
to
for a guy.
Day and age,
don't worry about him.
Just don't worry about your job. And all good, man, as long as you're going to provide that job from now on. So 10 o'clock that night, still hadn't heard from him. Cell phone rings. Hey, yup. Like, hey, yeah. I was in bed. By the way, this family is in bed too, so what do you need, right? And he's like, I'm going to come get you. We'll go to dinner. I'm like, 10 o'clock? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm
game. He comes over, picks me up. It's Tahoe, and we go over to this little – till this day, it's the only time – I drive by it all the time. Always tell people, like, when you're giving your tour, you know,
right,
people
right.
from back home.
This
like,
is the spot.
That's the spot. To this day, I've never been back in this place. I mean, sketch as hell. It's probably the only place it was open at
10 o'clock
where
right.
we went. But winding up and down this two-lane road, he's running 90 and a 30, and it's like rolling. That's where he said. He hired me right there on the spot and put me in. It was an unbelievable opportunity. Still to this day, it's fun to talk about those days and the way all that lined up.
And it's amazing. When I went back and did my research that you have questioned, because it's been a little factually has struggled. 2004, you share a seat with Harvick. 2005, Xfinity full-time. Couple wins, couple poles. 68 points short, right?
Yeah.
Of Truex Jr. And then 2006, I thought you ran more Xfinity. 2006, boom, cup rookie.
Yeah, that was
like you
we ran really well that year.
Because this is back with the full year, right?
It was two
things, whole year.
And I told my old man, I was like, listen, there's another problem on the racetrack.
Oh, boy.
I told the old man, I said, this is the opportunity. We're not ready for it by any means or any stretch of the imagination. I know that. But this is a window. I'm telling you, somebody's going to be in that car.
Right.
I've got to figure this out. And whoa! That's absolute. Look at them.
There's
They're everywhere.
Six of them there.
Off of turn two, six of them. Two of them stop, man. There is going to be some pissed off guys now. Now we've got some action. Look at that.
You know the
it's a parking lot off of two.
I see some fist pumping out
hey,
of the.
Hey, is that Moffitt right there?
That is Moffitt.
So he was the one that.
He was the one smoking. He has a mechanical
yeah,
issue.
Yeah, well, he got in that last wreck, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, look at these guys.
I saw
oh,
some.
17 is done.
The suite next to us, they're fist pumping. That's the Safe Flight Harrison Burton 2 over. So I assume Harrison got through it.
Look how much. It's such. that screams Burton. He's always got to have everything perfect and everything's
yeah.
just
oh,
nice.
Yeah.
But even his fans are better. Look at them. They all have matching uniforms
they do.
And like I feel like if you and I had a suite with our fans and our people.
Wouldn't look
in
like
it,
that.
No.
No, I agree.
No, it would probably be hanging off already.
Yeah.
Like it would be so many people
jumping
down.
A blackjack table in
fun.
The back.
Yes.
There would be a couple kegs open.
Probably beer cans and.
Oh, yeah.
Whiskey bottles in front of it.
It would be kind of a one-shot deal for us. I'm not sure they'd let our fans
no.
back.
Well, but they would tell the story for many years to come.
They would. All right, before the big wreck then, you were telling your dad someone was going to be in the cup car. You
oh,
had
yeah.
to figure it out.
2006, I mean, it was very, very apparent Richard was looking for somebody
right?
and needed somebody.
Yep.
And we ran good enough in 2005. You know, it was – Truex and I were both – they were obviously cheating worse than we were, and he beat me that year, but that was the opportunity for both of us
right.
put us on the map and got us our opportunities.
So I want, because I've heard this from other people, when they not race one Daytona, but I mean soon into that year, four, five, six races into your cup debut year, where you were like, holy crap, or you feel good? You know, because nowadays – Saturday
yeah.
to Sunday is a huge step in
my opinion.
Well,
the craziest opinion. Thing is even then, even in 2006 when I was in that cup car, I was a huge learning curve, still learning tracks, asphalt, mile and a half. I remember going to St. Louis Gateway in a car and thinking, my God, who in the hell built this thing? Why? You could have built 17 tracks with the asphalt they spent on this thing. Like – Gateway.
Yeah. Where's the groove exactly
It's a
here.
Mile racetrack,
right,
but
right.
you go to a mile and a half and then finally get on the high banks of Daytona. Dude, how many racetracks could you build with what they spent there on just asphalt alone? But I remember having that mentality and rolling into those racetracks. But again, going back to 2006, I hadn't been on asphalt that long.
Right.
I mean, when I am really going back and looking at it, you know, that year at I-70, that was like 15 races maybe 15 races. The next year was like 12 or 13. And then 2003, when I ran out of ARCA car, it was only a few, like a handful of races. Like, I'm talking very, very green and you know, on the asphalt side of things. Then you get in a heavy car, and
right.
that's a whole different deal. I mean, that's what we've seen so many drivers that were awesome short trackers, whether it was a dirt car, a modified, a late model, you know, an asphalt
yeah, right.
modified, you know, those East Coast boys. I've seen a lot of crazy talented drivers that I'm like, dude, trust me, this guy gets in a race car, we're all in big trouble.
Right.
And just couldn't do it.
I've seen it from the Busch North guys
very weird.
Between the weight of the car and
yep.
the speed. Like you talk about size yep. of the track, like – nowhere do you warm up at 160. No. The racetracks do you run that fast. So the aero and just the speed in general. Not that the speed,
the
I'm not saying it's
to,
fear. It's kind of like
wolf,
the air
so to speak,
thing.
And that aspect of it, that terminology is never more apparent than it is in our sport. There is no preparation. There's stepping stones, but then that last somebody, that's jumping in the deep end.
Yeah.
You either sink or swim.
And you definitely swam six seasons with RCR. A
yeah.
lot of good time, a lot of good numbers. Had, I mean, one there.
Great time. Love the whole, you know, was literally family. One of the hardest things that I ever had to do. I knew that I needed to. And to be honest with you, the opportunity was a different opportunity. And
mm-hmm.
and someday the book will tell that whole story.
Right.
But where I was supposed to go isn't exactly at all where I landed. And that opportunity was the one that kind of led to my exit. You know, at RCR, it was an opportunity of a lifetime. It was a no-brainer. anybody in racing would have went for that, and then all of a sudden that thing evaporated all in the time. Like, we're talking contract in hand, all done, going to sign, and I'll never forget it. Again, these damn owners. Let me tell you something. If an owner ever calls you and you're in the middle of a contract negotiation or anything of that aspect, and they call at 10 o'clock at night, mm-hmm. do not answer. Go straight to the bar and get drunk. Man, I don't know.
My bad.
You said to be there at 6:30 next morning. That's what I was celebrating, man. I missed your call. That was the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life, is answering that man's phone call that night, because it was a crushing blow. Still have that contract in my desk.
Still have it.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I was a crew chief for this whole span, 06. I started in 05, so we were in parallels. Because 07 – we got to tell this story. Let's go back. You were still at RCR in 07.
Yeah.
Charlotte Bonfire.
Oh, hell yeah. So wait a minute. You've went by the biggest thing that any driver has ever had, the obstacle that I had to overcome. Yes, 2006. Yes, it was my first year. By the way, I'm 25 years old. They hand me a Jack Daniels sponsorship. Are you kidding me? I said Jack Daniels.
Yeah, that's bad.
Oh, my God. I mean, we all grew up, you know, hitting the old bottle every now and then. But at that age, you stuck around the old Bud Lights, man. You didn't.
You weren't ready for brown liquor.
You went to that level, you was out of shape.
And
bad.
You had to be a pro with it.
Jack Daniels straight off the bat. And literally every single appearance. It ruined my friends' lives.
Yeah, right.
Like, when you come, it's your package, right?
Yeah, right.
All my childhood buddies, everybody, you know, you walk into a bar, guy doesn't hand you a beer.
Yeah, no.
Let's take a shot of Jack Daniels. Yeah. I would rather you punch me in the throat than just make me just arrive with a shot of Jack Daniels. Warm, by the way. Just nothing to warm up with it or anything. Just a shot of Jack Daniels. There is not a human alive that, does that. Not a shot.
I love that.
Sip on it.
That's right. It's a good little sipper.
So literally, my childhood best friend, Zach, he called, hey, man, we got to do something. I'm like, what do you mean, we? What's wrong? We need a new sponsor. I'm like, what? Well, the next thing, when I'm in the car, I don't look over and see your ass sitting there.
You're right.
It's me, bud. Well, I know, but, man, this is out of shit. I'm out of control. Drinking Jack Daniels, this is out of control. No shit. It's the same way with me. So 2 years of Jack Daniels, man, driving a car. I mean, you're literally a superstar. That sport was – our sport was –
it was unbelievable.
And you have Jack Daniels as a sponsor. Every appearance,
yeah,
everything
right.
you did, you had a Jack Daniels in your hand.
Mm.
Like, you were out of control.
Here, Jack and Coke, and let's go to a bar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't go as a Jack Daniels driver and say, hey, I'd like to order a Bud Light. That doesn't work.
Never thought of that. That's an aggressive.
Dude, super. I'm telling you, I am almost as proud of surviving those 2 years as I am my whole career. Because if you can do that, you can do anything. Trust me, that was tough. So then we go to wherever the hell your question
was.
Well,
Charlotte, you were going to kill me at a bonfire.
Jack Daniels.
Jack Daniels did it. The feature went.
You don't come up with dumb shit like that without Jack Daniels. We have had so where you're going with this.
Well, I just wanted to let everybody know that you're the only person. I've been to a lot of bonfires, but never pallets on the asphalt in the bus lot. You win the award.
So we, you know, when you win, you've got to celebrate.
Yeah, back to your dad's
right.
days. Yeah, right.
People got to know that you won.
Right.
And there's only one way to do it. You can't just stop. You're like, it drives me nuts to see a guy get out and win a race and just go home, go to bed.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Like, there's no guarantees. You're going to get another one.
It makes you hope that they never get to visit again. Like, give somebody else that opportunity.
This guy doesn't deserve it.
He doesn't deserve it. He obviously doesn't appreciate it.
Right,
so.
Right.
Well, let's just go to bed, you know. We're going to wake up in the morning and start working again for the next one. Bullshit. Celebrate that thing, because it just might not ever happen again. And even if it does, you need to enjoy it
right.
with your friends. And there's too many people at this level that are responsible for you being there. It isn't just you and your old man and the old dude
right,
headed
right.
to the racetrack anymore. It's hundreds of people that are dedicated to that victory, and it's theirs, right? It really is. Even as a crew chief.
Yeah,
you know, you're managing the people and steering the ship, but at the end of the day, the ship is built by them, you know. So always appreciate, you know, those celebrations. But back to Charlotte, yeah, we got into having small fires, and then they kind of caught on to our ways, and they did away. I had it contained at first. Trash cans, man. I had it in a trash can.
Just a simple burn barrel.
Well, went green on us. No more metal burn barrels. They're all plastic barrels.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you how long a plastic barrel lasts in a bonfire. Not very long. We've tried it a couple times. Hence, I think that plastic is still there today. But we went around there that night and a lot of nights going around. And you can't come up with as much stuff to burn as one would think.
I actually was shocked.
Out of track.
I thought it was going to be easy.
Like when you put out the search party for tangible things that will, you know, be a good burn, you can't find any. I mean, you're getting down to, hey, man, I need your lawn chair.
Yeah, right. If there was more wood lawn chairs.
We're going to burn the chair. Like,
Gordon.
It's surprising how little things there is to burn at a racetrack, and especially after a race. But, those were good times. Those were big parties.
Well,
that was, remember Rob Kaufman took that $200,000-some GTX, tried to do a burnout with it, threw the drive shaft, had it in reverse, and threw the drive shaft out of it on the ground? God, that was funny. It seems that we've broken a suspension component of some sort.
We have had a failure.
That's the dry shaft. If you let it roll up a little bit, I'll show you. It's right behind it.
Back there.
By the way, it just beat the hell out of the floorboard of this thing.
So you talk about celebrating your wins, right? You go from RCR to MWR, have success there. It goes away. Talk about that. It's not worth talking about anymore. It literally went away. It went away. It evaporated. That's true. I'm back with you on that. I wasn't going to make you relive it because
There is nothing neater than signing a contract. Like, the weight is lifted off your shoulder.
Agreed.
Knowing.
So this is the second time. You don't have that contract
home.
Too, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that one was not worth much. But literally, like,
yeah,
I'm set. I'm set for 3 years. I know what I'm doing, know where I'm at, know where I'm, you know, what helmet I'm putting on, what car I'm getting in, where I'm going to work. Well, sometimes that changes.
Yep.
When the guy says I'm just done, like, not having any fun anymore.
Like,
what do you
mean you're done? Like today or
fancy piece of paper you handed me says otherwise. But now they can do that. They can just stop. And that was an interesting time in my life, and I learned a lot with the sport. I learned a lot in business, really, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Difficult, man. Things, the sport had changed, going through a huge, just change in the way the business side of it worked. I mean, I remember the day, I'm not kidding. When I first came to RCR, he had six sponsors that were full primary sponsors on the desk. You literally chose which one worked best with the other partners on the car,
right?
Which worked best with your personalities, with
and they picked Jack, you know, Daniels, but
yeah, which was a hell of whew. But so, yeah, I mean those are the times where we were at of having a list of sponsors that were multi-million dollar sponsors to you know, begging and selling your butt off for them.
So I want to talk about, so that deal goes away, you get the deal to go to SHR, but it's a year away. So you bridge it with a year at H. Scott.
I've always had screwed up deals, huh?
Well, so you have. So, but
is that me? Is it me or is that?
This is how I think that have this many screwed up deals don't persevere. So I'm going to give you the fact that you kept going through it as a bit. But I want to talk about that year because I saw it with Kurt Busch. I've seen it with you, right?
Yeah.
When you have driven really great equipment.
Yeah,
and I'm not taking anything away from everyone that H. Scott for what they had to work. Right, they worked as hard as they could, but that was a major shift. Showing up trying to win. So
that was probably the fifth time in my life I learned you can't polish a turd.
I mean, right? It just can only go so fast.
It's still a turd.
But how did you? My point though is now looking back. What did that year do?
Forgot we're on television.
That's okay.
Here.
We got it all. They've moved it a couple times.
How's my face look? On
it's digital. He's been chasing you. But that year, what did you learn that year? Other than that, though, behind the wheel, racing against these guys, running
on the
in
racetrack, I learned a lot about life. I learned a lot about business. Is what I learned.
Right.
And how to treat people, how not to treat people, basically. and how to appreciate the good times. You know, when I got my opportunity again, a year and a half had to wait on that thing. Mm-hmm. And don't you think – remember when he got hurt?
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I got this. Well, hey, back to them contract things. What's that deal look like? If this dude can't get in his car, don't you let me get – I need in that car if it's an opportunity, you know. But
they
he already signed
Burton.
Your life away. To yeah.
They went and got Burton.
Put Burton in it. Drug him out of retirement with his bifocals. Put him in that damn thing. But just chomping at the bit of that opportunity to get back in
right.
good cars. But that's where the appreciation comes from. But, again, probably the most that I learned about that is the appreciation for people. I felt so bad for those guys working there, tried to do, you know, we'd go to lunch, we'd
yeah,
do
right,
whatever.
Right.
I mean, those guys working their asses off. And you knew no matter how hard you worked,
right.
like, again, it's a turd.
You got to have the parts and the pieces and
yeah,
the budget.
I mean, you've got to have all of that established.
Right.
And we were just all, by the time it was halfway through the season, it was very apparent what was going on. And then it was like, now I just felt bad for those guys.
Right.
You know, it was tough. It was a really tough year.
But then you bounce back and you get in the 14 car.
Oh.
I was going to say, how good did it feel?
My ass fit right in it.
Forget Daytona. I want to know.
I was really, you know, you worried
test.
About filling people's shoes.
Yeah, right.
Didn't have to worry about filling a seat in his. I was good. I went right in that,
you
baby.
Slid right in.
By the time he was ready for retirement, I guarantee you, about anybody, Newman maybe, but about anybody else could have fit in that seat.
Oh, Stewart had her. had some room. Oh, boy. Remember, he's still your owner. That's an interesting.
Yes.
So listen, though, you got in that car, and it's great.
Yeah.
And this is the reason why I wanted to talk to you here. So I've known you a long time, a lot of celebrations.
Right.
How much different was it getting through that valley, coming back to win, winning with your family? I mean, there's a lot of layers to your big breakthrough
yeah.
win here.
Yeah.
Like, have you – as
you know,
you're still driving.
Coming back to Martinsville, this is still – that one track that I watched your ass celebrate.
I won my first and last
smile.
Race here as a crew chief.
Yeah.
Bookended it.
Yeah, look at
Bookended
your driver.
It.
Like, really?
Won one with Gordon and Dale Jr.
Well, that's true.
Passed the 14 car, actually.
I saw it. Doored the hell out of him, by the way.
I don't know if we technically – we went past, but it was more of a –
No, I just saw it, actually, this
yeah.
morning. Doored the hell out of him.
I mean, we had new shoes, buddy. We were
I
coming
mean,
through.
That's Mr. Respected Jesus himself out there.
Gordon was coming.
Doored the hell out of him.
I think
coming
I was
through.
I was on the radio, be like, don't waste any time. Because
well,
Gordon
he did.
Is, Gordon
he heard you
coming.
Loud and clear.
I was telling you.
Boom! Knocks
yeah.
him out of the way. By the way, folks, we are still
we are
under,
still under red flag.
Red flag, actually, has just been lifted. But looks like half of Daytona Beach is on the back straightaway. That'll be interesting. To see how these cars do. 17 still needing pushed off of pit road, and it is at least 3 foot shorter than it was the last time it was on the racetrack. So it'll be definitely interesting.
Keep I love
an eye
this
on
place.
That.
Love
I
this
love
place.
This racetrack. I'm telling you,
it's
we
so
talk
good.
About you
You're
know
good
racetracks.
Today. Your stuff look good today.
Well, damn right. Learn from you. Learn from chasing you all these years. But again, going back to that win. To
yeah.
This is a problem with these with podcasts.
Yeah.
Is you put two people with ADD on
it's
it.
It's fine, man.
This is the worst damn
my
show.
My podcast is a driving
There's
podcast.
No possible way that we'll probably ever get
it. It'll be the biggest numbers ever you watch.
No.
People plugging in, drive up the road.
So.
Blue Def diesel exhaust fluid. Hope this is a big number
damn
thing.
Right.
See, we're going to get your stuff on here.
Damn right. So, this racetrack, MWR, how many times did we knock on your door? Like, had a couple opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Literally knocked on your door once. That didn't
I can't believe Rick would
good.
Ever get you a car ever again after that one. Three wide. Wrecked us all going into one.
You dumbasses didn't take tires. Like, you were done. I had you cooked. Like, the race was mine to win, and Newman, God, he's a pain in my ass, decided the race needed to be one getting into one. I had this deal masterminded. I'm going to roll around both of you guys off of two and ride off into the sunset. Newman had a different idea and tried to take us three wide or 17 wide getting into one.
Yeah.
Pushed me in an opportunity that I didn't want to take. The opportunity that I envisioned was to pass you off of two.
Not into one. You were
and wreck us
guy.
All.
You did wreck us all.
And then when I doored him, I was thinking, man, I'll just throttle up here and I'll be all right. And then he throttled up into my right rear, which was very, very smart, and spun me out, junked all of us. That sucked so bad. But that was, again, knocking on the door to an opportunity, and it slipped by. So to be able to win, and you know, by the way, a win that was a long time coming. It was getting to a situation in my career where I needed to step up to the plate and get it done, or I was not going to be able to get it done.
We got the call for some fine adjustments, so we stopped down so Clint could do his driver duty before qualifying. I appreciate that.
Yeah, crew chief called. Just wanting to know, here's the thing about how this world's changed since you've been in it. I mean, you know, you used to go through qualifying session as its own identity, right, its own deal. Now you've got to make some race decisions, knowing as you run 500 laps around here, track's changing. It's going to tighten up throughout that race. You know, do we put more right rear spring in and let, you know, wedge is an easy thing because you can kind of inch that stuff in. You start talking about rubbers or something like that. That's today's day and age. You can't afford to do that. That's too long of a pit stop, too big of a gamble. And those teams, you're going to get buried in traffic, too hard to pass, too hard to make up for that.
From what I've seen this weekend, too, I don't think tires are going to matter anywhere near as much as track position. You could
I was here. We tested down here, actually, just
under the lights,
or something. Well, did one night or whatever, but it's just tire does the same thing lap after lap after lap.
Right.
My opinion, Goodyear's done. If this is how I always wondered how I was going to get fired on a podcast. This is going to be it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It'll be Steve Letard's fault. literally came to – oh! Number 49.
Oh, boy.
Spun out.
Drive it over the curb.
Did a test here. Brought typical five or six different sets.
Right.
I'm like, hey, man, coming to this deal, told him the goal – we've got to come up with a tire that wears. The last couple times here, tires don't wear. This is an issue. We've got to be able to wear to change up your driving line, change some things up, need some wear. Get here.
None.
And when I say none, you can go out and run 40, 45 laps and come in and they do wears on the left sides. None.
Mm-hmm.
The wears, you look at your sheet and you're like, hey, you forgot to fill out the left side. It's like, what's wrong with the computer?
Yeah, right.
No. Zero. Zero, zero, zero.
Well, because it matters. I mean, it's Sonoma.
Five different places, Seto, zero on the left sides. Six different compounds, zero.
Zero.
Got to fix that problem before we ever attack any other problems.
Because you want to be able to peel some tires, you know, throw
tires have to matter.
Go.
Have to matter on a track like
this. Well, the races we were talking about, the reason you were going to,
you
bamboozled us three wide is because you had those new tires.
You can run 200 laps around this. Oh, by the way, you could have ran that tire 3,000 laps from our data.
Yeah.
It would have 3,000 laps and then drove home on them. My point is this. Goodyear somehow, some way, has figured out how to build the best tire in existence.
Right.
People listening at home,
buy 'em.
If you have an opportunity to retread your boots, put Goodyear rubber on them. Lifetime. I'm talking lifetime guarantee stuff. They do not wear out. If you can put them on a race car and go 3,000 laps wide open around this place and they don't wear out, that's the best rubber ever. You could do a lot with that rubber. A lot.
So I'm going to.
But I don't think it's the best thing for our sport. We've got to figure out how to make them wear out. That wear was an integral part of the product of our sport.
It makes you put some tires on. We've talked a lot about racing. I have some other stuff we're going to talk about, but real quick, I do this with everybody. Quick hitters. Five simple quick hitters. This should be pretty easy. I'm scared to go to this first one after our first conversation. So quick hitters with Clint Boyer. What's your go-to drink when you go out? Everybody has to have a go-to.
Jack and Coke.
Jack and Coke. Shocked.
No, but I honestly, my buddy Blake has his own vodka company.
Oh, yeah, there
You know, again,
you should tell him he needs a sponsor.
I don't know
podcast.
That perks. Some perks aren't worth it. Some perks are dangerous.
Yeah.
You have a friend with a vodka deal.
That's bad.
Like, you get cases of vodka. You don't get a bottle. You get cases.
That's
like, your friends come over and, like, dude, I've had my wife's friends look at me like, you have, you have like four cases of vodka on your ground. What? You got a problem here? That nobody knows? Like, no, damn it, man. They don't send a bottle. They send cases. So, you
my
know,
rule of thumb is you don't ever run out of liquor sober.
A good vodka is a good drink, but I was always told if you find yourself drinking nothing but vodka, you're almost drunk.
That's probably a good rule of thumb. All right, better barbecue, KC or NC?
Are you out of your damn mind?
I just need the answer.
How could you possibly even ask that question?
All right, I'm
that's the dumbest question I've ever been asked.
So
on
that we're gonna call that a KC solid.
That
win.
Is a big yes.
Okay. Kansas or K-State?
Kansas, and this is why.
All right.
Again, man. When you live in Emporia, people go to Emporia State, which is a great university, teachers college, you know, very well known and respected, good college, great campus. Or you go to K-State. The farmers, the drinkers, all the cowboys, they all went to K-State.
Ah.
All the good-looking girls, they all went to KU.
Mm. KU it is.
KU it is.
KU it is. They went, all right, football or hoops? I know you're a racing guy, but football or hoops?
Football. Okay. And again, if you're a Kansan, now that I love KU, you know, you don't talk much football about KU. Say,
like
get
football.
Real quiet. Get real quiet football season. Get real loud in hoop season.
Yeah, March it gets a little noisy. All right, this one here, are you a day drinker or a night drinker?
Yes. Yes. I think they both work well.
I'm a better day drinker. I can stay up late if I don't drink, but if not, I got to go to bed.
I have
I'm
that
old.
Problem. And my
I'm
wife, I don't feel as if that happens, but my wife has enlightened me to the fact where I need to be a night drinker. Because if I'm a day drinker, it turns into just a night drinker.
Right.
It is in really bad shape.
Just start ahead of the pack.
Everybody else always said, you know, the old theory, you know, on your vacation, well, I would do a little day drink and be in bed.
Yeah, right.
No. That just means you get a hell of a run at it, of that hangover, and how bad you're going to feel the next morning. Oh, that's just more drinking is
I
what
like
that means.
All right. Quick hitters with Clint Boyer. I like them all. All right. We're going to shift from racing to life here.
Oh,
I've known you a long time.
Oh!
Oh, he had to run up
Who
front to get
that?
Spun around.
52, right?
I don't do trucks, man. I don't
Yeah,
know.
You do. It's fit. You're a fan, aren't you?
I am a fan, but
what is his name? Stewart.
Oh, Friesen.
I knew
Didn't
that.
Didn't he win Eldora?
Somehow, some way. You know how your kids going back to life, and this'll load you right up. My
well,
kid Cash is a huge Stuart Friesen fan.
Really?
And I have no idea why. And honestly, he doesn't know why. But
that's his guy?
That's his guy.
So, listen, I have kids. They're older now, 8th grade and 10th grade. I mean, there's nothing like them in my mind. I mean, could you ever have dreamt what it was going to be like?
No. And really, the only thing that you, again, I probably wouldn't trade it. But the only thing you'd probably do any different is have him a little sooner.
Well, so I did. I had my son at 24.
Yeah, mine was 34.
Mike, do you
I don't like, know that I would have probably had kids if they would have still been under the same roof if I'd have had them at 24.
Right.
But, no, man, it's so fun. I just said something yesterday. I come home and my wife, spray chalk.
Oh, I saw the picture.
Sidewalk chalk has come a long ways, mm-hmm. man. It's no longer, you don't have to use it. It's a spray can. My dude,
I saw your driveway. Was
everything
graffiti.
Was I'm like, oh, you know, like you've worked your whole life to get something nice, boy. You protect that.
Yeah, right.
It's got to have it right.
Yeah.
My dad always said, he's like, you'll see, boy. You'll see. Every time you screwed something up, mm-hmm. one of these days you'll see. He laughs. I get so pissed off. My nephew smoked the damn gutter the other day, pinched it in half, like watching him on the floor. Boom! Like, stop. Damn. All right. It's all good. Raising kids. Having fun, you know. Like,
that's awesome.
6 years ago, that would have – you would have went through the roof.
Right.
Like, ah, devastation, DEFCON 5. This is the worst thing that ever happened. You know, really, now you just laugh. It's all about you're living your life for your kids, just like your parents did.
Right.
Like, you know, looking back on it now and how we were raised, how we were at the racetrack, the sacrifices that my dad was doing, like, you're to the, I don't even not sure that I got it, man. I'm like, Dad, what in the hell were you thinking?
Right.
13-hour drive to Lake Whitney, Texas on a Sunday afternoon summer series. Like, one day, that's it. You didn't go for like a 3 or 4 day race, a big deal. Every weekend, 13 hours, one way. Like,
damn.
I'm into some racing, but
my dad, so
I'm
we
need
won
a driver.
We won a dirt race about a month ago, and my dad's exact quote was, if I knew how enjoyable it was to have grandkids, I wouldn't have had kids. I was like, that's not how it works. It would have. I could have skipped right over you. I'm like, okay, thanks, Dad, but that was his. Oh, it's crazy.
It is fun, man, and I tell you, blessed to have one of each, which
yep.
is.
Same here.
I was scared to death, man. Grew up with two brothers, three of us. You know, boys.
You knew you were
going to
have them.
Boys.
Right.
Like, boys. You know, ain't no girls in the deal. Now, my older brother's got two girls. Casey's got a girl. I got a girl. Like, girls. Goddamn dolls in the shower and stuff. Like, tripping over. You know, it's okay if you're tripping over, you know, Chase Elliott's car in the
yeah,
show.
Right. Oh, yeah.
All
totally
right, I get that,
yep.
man. You know, sprint car. Boy, sprint cars suck. Yeah, you step on a sprint car with a wing on. Oh! You know, your dad always bitched about, you know, stepping on a matchbox
right,
car
right.
and stuff. You step on a sprint car. That's bad.
That wing could do some
oh,
damage.
Oh, yeah. But now we've got dolls and hair and pink. I mean, like.
I love it.
Dude, this is all new. uncharted water for sure.
I love it. I love it. We're all going to be punished. That's our daughters are going to punish us, I'm sure.
And then you have your friends, it. Like, they start dating. Hey. Maybe that was part of my strategy. Like, he knew that I wasn't capable of dealing with something like that.
Yeah.
So he made me have kids at such a late age that I probably won't be around to see.
Well,
see, I got to thinking about it the other day. I'm like, Laura, we're going to be like 70. Like,
because we're the same age, right?
Yeah, somehow.
We're the same.
You look like 20 years older than I am.
Listen, it's been a rough go of it. Hey, I'm 4 years from an empty nester. So
I know it.
So I'll be calling you up. You still have a thing. So let's talk about that. Okay, re-signed your deal.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask a time frame, but on the horizon, like, do you have personal goals? Do you just say, you know, I just want to keep being competitive? Like, when you look
competitive.
At your career, just
yep, I know where you're going. Competitive, man. That's the answer.
Yep.
When you stop being competitive, you know, I think that's it. And I really think when you just – you don't want to go to the track anymore. You know, and it's crazy to think that day is maybe on the horizon or even a possibility because you've lived your whole life for that. Like, literally – the week drags on because you're ready to go to the damn racetrack.
Yeah, like, right? Let's go.
You know what I mean? Like, Tuesday sucks because Wednesday's before Thursday, and Thursday you're leaving to go to the racetrack. Like, that's the way you think your whole life. And, you know, I mean, I tell you, in 2016 is the first time I was to that point. I was done, man. I was like,
this is not fun.
What are we doing?
Right.
Like, this is literally not fun at all.
Did that help clear it up now? Because you felt that in 16, you say, listen,
right,
I'm not
now,
doing that again.
My wife and having a two-year-old, like, my kid was, you know, that was the only thing. Like, I was completely dejected.
Yep.
Like, you've worked your whole life and have been pretty good at something, and you do it because you're competitive and you feel like you can make a difference. You can make a difference. I didn't feel that. It was the first time ever in my life is like, it doesn't matter if I tried 100% or 10%. You're gonna finish somewhere from 28th to 30th. Like, that was where it's gonna be at your best effort or your worst effort.
Right.
That's where it was gonna be. That sucked. I don't ever want to get that. As long as you can be in competitive equipment, be an asset to somebody, an organization, to a sport, or anything in between. I think, you know, times are interesting right now in our sport, and I think they're going to get very interesting in the short future. I think it's going to get sorted out,
right?
But we've got a lot of changing on our horizon. You've got younger drivers coming in, which is a good thing, but you've always had, we're three wide for the lead here. With how many laps is this race? 200?
200. We got 44
inside
to go.
50. Oh, boy.
That's a good run
three
on
wide,
the bottom.
Baby.
That's a good run on the bottom.
I don't – that Chastain's doing some serious blocking. Oh, he dove her down in there. He slid up. The two car gets into the three wide again.
All right. That's it. Listen, I'm not going to keep going. The race is going on.
Oh, I know. We had some good stuff going on. It's fun to see. You know, every now and then, as somebody that isn't diagnosed with ADD, to realize that it just happened and that was.
All right. Clint Boyer on location, Martinsville Speedway. Clint, thanks for joining, man. It's been exciting.
We've been on location.
We've covered
Steve
a lot of stuff.
On location.
No beer. We're
we
gonna
have
fix
zero
that.
Sponsors for the podcast. That's
going to change.
I hate to say that. You're not using my sponsors.
You're
plugged to mine a couple times.
I like that.
Trying to backdoor me
I'm
on
coming
the deal.
Right in.
Nah.
It's just an addition to having a car.
That's not how it works.
All right. Thanks.
I find my sponsor on the side of your koozies from location, I'm
Listen,
coming
man,
after your
I
ass.
Got a micro sprint running a 2020. I need something
I
for that 15-year-old.
How much set of tires for a micro sprint these days?
I don't know. I'm just moving out of the
got
Outlaw
a sponsor
carts.
For that, too?
Got a. You're looking at the sponsor right
you
now.
You got a micro?
We got one on the way. Got a hyper coming.
So that's
what they're going to run at Millbridge.
Yes.
Is a micro sprint.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, the 500s, listen.
So they flip hard enough for the 500s?
Well, but here's the thing, though.
Faster?
But the micros run the same lap time. Because they're a little heavier, bigger, the track. You know, it's actually a small track for them.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Huh.
So it'll be good. It'll be good. All right, there you have it. Letarte on location. Clint Boyer from Martinsville. Subscribe, rate, and review. Let us know what you think.
What kind of day is it? It's a White Claw day. Light and refreshing tasting, uniquely Cold Way filtered. There's an iconic flavor for everyone. Come on, grab a pack. White Claw. Grab life by the claw. Please drink responsibly. Hard seltzer with flavor. White Claw seltzer works Chicago, Illinois.